You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
Okay, a few things before we begin. If you want my notes, you can text the word notes to the number that comes on the screen. I would suggest that you do this. I have about 13 pages of notes in front of me. I hope you came ready to eat. I've been out of the pulpit for 6 Sundays, and we're bringing the heat today. So get ready. And you might want to watch this again online or share this on social media. There's going to be a lot to digest, especially as we begin to release the prophetic words at the end. It'll probably be more than you'll be able to pick up in one setting. So I'd encourage you to go back, listen to it again, and pray through it. Before we begin, I want to continue to pastor and father you since you gave me permission. And as I prepared to bring this word, I was just aware that there's three kinds of people in this room. The first thing is there's members. There's individuals of Mercy Culture Church that you're a part of this church. And the beautiful thing is when we release a prophetic word over the year, when there's a corporate prophetic word, just like our vision is taking people from corporate encounters with God to daily personal, when there's a corporate prophetic word, it also becomes a personal prophetic word for members. And so this is a significant day that you're going to be given a word from God specific to you and your family for this year. So there's three kinds of people in this room. There's members, there's visitors. Visitors, we're glad you're here. It's like this every week. I don't preach all the time. I preach about twice a month. I actually had someone come up on me Christmas Eve service, and they said, "Hey, I don't want to offend you, but you know, we've been coming to church for about 6 months, and I've only heard you preach a couple times, and at first I thought it was weird, and then I realized the church isn't built around you." I was like, "You got it." That's actually the least offensive thing that you can say. We've built this church around the presence of God and not pastor.com. Amen? So if you're a visitor, it's like this every week. And then there's a third group of people here. And the word I want to use to describe them is the fray. And these are individuals that are not planted. And I want to bring a slight warning and a correction in humility. And I'm not trying to be offensive at all. And I'm not trying to be antagonistic. But I couldn't proceed in the message without warning individuals to be planted. And there's some individuals that you're here today and you're not a member just because you haven't had that direct, "Hey, it's time you need to do this." But if you consider yourself a member of this church and you're not a member, you haven't gone through MC Connect, you're not a member. It's like those that are dating and think that they're married. And you're like, "Hey, we're married in God's eyes." No, you're fornicating in God's eyes, and that's why he wrote it in his book. And so some of you just didn't realize that you are actually not submitted. And when you're unsubmitted, it's dangerous. Now, there's others that are in this room, and you're just rebellious, and you don't realize it. And what does it mean to be rebellious? It means no one can tell you what to do, and it's taken you 20 years to find a church, and you can't find a church. And if it's taken you 20 years, it's not the churches. And so I wanted to encourage you. Some of you need to plant yourself and get submitted. And then some of you are in that fray that you need to get out of the fray. And some people run around from church to church trying to chase the next thing, to chase the glory, to chase prophetic words, to chase moments, chase YouTube channels, and you're trying to look for something and grasp for something. But the problem is you haven't spiritually grown in a long time because you're not planted. And you keep uprooting yourself over and over and over, and you never grow deep roots that produce fruit. And when I was praying for this moment, I had a vision. I had a vision of individuals running around trying to catch falling prophetic words. And every time you would get to one, it's almost like you were just there too late and it would fall on the ground. And then I saw a picture of Elisha standing underneath Elijah, holding his hands out, saying, "My father, my father," submitted and watching the mantle just fall on where he was. And I want to encourage you, when you are planted and when you are submitted, you don't have to chase words. They come directly to you and where you're at because you're right where God has called you to be. And so I want you to hear a father's heart. I want you to hear a loving shepherd's heart. I want you to get everything that God has for you. And if this is your house, you need to commit. If this isn't your house, then you need to pray about where you're supposed to go be submitted to. But one way or the other, if you're gonna bear fruit, you have to have roots. Amen? Amen. Let me give you some practical advice before we begin today. Is it hot in here? Praise the Lord. I want you to be intentional about preparing your heart to receive this word. If we were in a prophetic presbytery service and we started calling people out and had you stand up and receive prophetic words, you would posture yourself to hear from God. There needs to be a mass posturing right now, even to the members that are homesick or couldn't make it here or still traveling for the holidays, that you begin, as you listen to this, posture your heart to receive a prophetic word that God has for you. How do you receive a prophetic word? Is you have your heart be soft, and then you lean your heart to obey what God tells you to do. And you can relax because we're not taking an offering this morning. We don't take offerings any Sunday mornings. So posture your heart to be soft and obey. So right now you might need to check your heart and say, hey, have I been in a manipulative environment before where they prostituted gifts of the Spirit, where they infringed on people, where they used God's word or the Holy Spirit speaking or prophecy to manipulate people? And has that caused me to resist God speaking? And you got to be able to recognize the difference of a psycho-narcissistic, out-of-order church and when God is specifically ministering and speaking to his bride. Are you with me? So I want you to be intentional about your heart receiving what God's word has for you. So lay hands on your heart and just say, heart, be soft. Here's a better one. Say, Holy Spirit, help me soften my heart. Receive what you have for me in Jesus' name. Before we even begin the message, let me give you some practical advice. You can best steward a prophetic word by continuously praying the word daily. So before we leave this service, we'll do it together, and then I'll charge you to do this every day this year. How many ready for the word this morning? Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Story of Abraham. And this is an important story to remember because we're going to come back to it at the end. Verse 1, it says this. So Abram went up from Egypt, him and his wife, and all that they had had, and Lot went with him into the Negev. Now Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and gold. He journeyed from the Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai. So to the place where he had made an altar at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord, and Lot went with him, with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents, verse 6. And so the land could not support both of them dwelling together, for their possessions were so great they could not dwell together. Jump down to verse 9. Abram said this, is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left, then I'll go to the right. If you take to the right, I'll go to the left. Verse 11, so Lot chose for himself, someone say himself, all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. Verse 12, and Abraham settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled amongst the city and the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. Verse 14. Then the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all of the land that you see, I will give you and your offsprings forever. And I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring can also be counted. Arise, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I will give it to you. I came to tell you this morning that faith expands territory. The prophetic word over Mercy Culture Church for 2022 is this is the year of expanding territory. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we declare we're not making room for you. We give you the entire room. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would breathe upon your word. I pray your logos would become alive. It would become rhema. Father, I pray right now that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what your spirit is saying. We declare your word is true and that every man's a liar. We declare your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, today we pray no spirit but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this place. So we say, fear, you have to go. Holy Spirit, come, rule and reign. Father, I thank you that no one came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen and amen. So last April, I'm on the Trinity Trail having my daily encounter. And if I'm honest with you, I wasn't seeking God about speaking in me. I'm just with him, praying in the Holy Ghost, listening to Mercy Culture worship, on the trail, enjoying myself. I wasn't even talking to God. And I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. And he just said this, expanding territory. And the moment he said it to me, instantly I knew it was the prophetic word for 2022. And to be honest with you, it was pretty difficult to hold on to this word till the first Sunday in January. But I felt like we had to steward the year of the supernatural all the way through the rest of the year. I felt like we could not pick up a new prophetic word of expanding territory until we properly stewarded the word that God gave us in 2021 on the supernatural. And so we stewarded it all the way into the last service of the year. We stewarded this word on the year, the supernatural. And so now here, Sunday morning, the first Sunday in January of 2022, I came to tell you and declare what God said over this house. It is the year of expanding territory. The moment God told me expanding territory, the next thing he said to me was Jabez. First Chronicles chapter 4, it's the story of Jabez. And it's kind of an abstract, rare scripture just sandwiched in the genealogy of Judah. 1 Chronicles 4:9, it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother called his name Jabez because she said, I bore him in pain. Verse 10 says this, Jabez called unto the God of Israel saying, oh, or if you would bless me indeed and enlarge or expand my territory that your hand might be on me, and that you would keep me from evil, so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. There's three things that we know about Jabez within two verses of the Bible. The first is he was a man who was dishonored. The second is he remained a man of honor. And the third, he was a man of prayer. Let's talk about him being dishonored. His mother named him in the Hebrew, Yabetz, which means he makes sorrowful and painful. It's a literal translation that can read, he causes pain, or watch this, he will cause pain. His mother named him prophetically, this is the child that will cause pain. See, names are very important in the Bible. We see the meaning of names and places. God changes people's names. We see that with in our story of Genesis 13, it still references him as Abram. God hadn't changed his name to Abraham yet, or his wife's name, Sarai, to Sarah. We see this in just previous to this, and with the Jacob, the story of Jacob, where God or Jacob wrestles with the angel. He was named Jacob, or deceiver. He wrestled with the angel until daybreak. God touched him, and after he touched him, he changed his name and said, no longer will you be called Jacob, but now you're going to be called Israel. We see this with Saul changing, God changing Saul's name to Paul. So over and over, you see this in the Bible. So specifically, as Jacob was known all of his life as a deceiver, we see one example in Genesis chapter 35, where Jacob's beautiful wife, Rachel, is giving birth in pain. And in pain, she's dying in labor. And as she's dying in labor, she names their son Benoni. This is Genesis chapter 35, verse 18. But Jacob, understanding the power of the name, would not let his son be named Benoni, son of my suffering. He changed the son's name to Benjamin, son of my right hand. Why did he do this? Because there is power in a name. So we're aware that when women give birth to children, there's pain. Can I get any witnesses? But after the pain comes, there's great sorrow. And in fact, it's almost instantaneously that there is immediate joy that comes after the pain. John 16, 21 talks about this. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So when most women bear children and the pain and sorrow leaves and the joy comes, Jabez's mother did not allow the joy to come because she held on to her pain. That word pain and sorrow in scripture are interchangeable. Sorrow in the Greek means lopeo, which means to cause severe mental or emotional distress or vex. The root word is external pressure exerted by circumstances that are very intense. Scripture is teaching us that at times we go through a place of pain or a place of external pressure that is very intense, and we have a choice where we could either let the joy of tomorrow dawn on our today, or we could steward our pain and sorrow, and we could begin to prophetically name tomorrow from the pain of today. We see this in the text in Genesis chapter 11. This is interesting. In Genesis chapter 11, this is important because this is the prequel of our story in Genesis 13, where God is speaking to Abraham to go into a promised land and that he's going to bless him beyond more, he'll have more offspring than sand on the seashore. So we're looking before this prophetic word that Abram got in Genesis 13. God was ministering to his father, Terah, in Genesis chapter 11. But what happened in Genesis chapter 11 is when Abraham's father is moving towards the promised land, he experienced pain and sorrow. And Lot's father, Haran, dies halfway between the place he was called and the promised land. So instead of pushing through to a promised place, he abandons the prophetic word on his life. He camps in that city in Genesis chapter 11, throw it up on the screen. And then he names the city after his son who died in that location. And there's a lot of individuals that you are stewarding your pain and sorrow of yesterday instead of stewarding the prophetic words of tomorrow. And what will happen is you'll begin to prophesy pain tomorrow because of sorrow today. Listen, if you steward sorrow, you will not have the faith to take territory of tomorrow. I'm gonna say this again. If you remain in a place of pain and sorrow, you will begin to name your tomorrow of the pain of today rather than declaring by faith what your tomorrow's supposed to be. So let me ask you this question. What are you naming your future based on your pain today? What are you naming your 2022? Some of you look at your 2022, you look at the future on a reflection of your past. What has nothing to do with your past. It only has to do with what God has said tomorrow's supposed to look like. See, faith is what you cannot see, but you believe because you've heard. So church, you could either steward sorrow or you could steward faith, but you cannot steward both. Oh, we're seeing this right now where people are stewarding the pain of yesterday and they're bringing it in there today. We're seeing injustices of yesterday becoming pain of today. We're seeing attacks of yesterday becoming sorrow of today. This is so important that you cannot do it over yourself. You cannot proclaim it over yourself, the pain of today from tomorrow, and you cannot allow others to name your today their pain. Psalms 35 says, weeping may tarry for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Despite being dishonored and being named by his mother, I will cause pain, he remained a man of honor. We don't hear a lot about honor in today's culture because we don't have a culture of honor. We have a culture of dishonor. See, Mercy culture, we have a culture of honor. We have a very intentional culture. You'll see signs up all over the building of our culture. And one of our values that we have within our culture is a culture of honor. We define honor as assigning heaven's value. See, a lot of people have a hard time honoring certain people because of their behavior. But when you understand what God's definition of honor, it's easy. Because I'm not honoring them based on their behavior. I'm honoring them based on the value God says about them, not what their behavior says about them. So when scripture says that we're supposed to honor everyone, there's some people that's challenging. How can I honor them with their behavior? I'm separating their behavior from who God says they are. Remind you about your behavior before you found out who God said you were. He remained a man of honor despite being dishonored. Church, can you remain in honor when you're dishonored? Can you maintain your honor? Can you maintain heaven's value? When people lie about you, can you maintain honor? When they attack you and try to discredit you, can you remain in honor? As I was praying into this message this week, I was reminded of the story in 2 Samuel chapter 16. And it's too long to read, so I'm just going to paraphrase it. It's a good read for you to go and read this week. But it's a story of King David. And it may be the most broken time of King David's life. If any, it's in the top three. Where his son has just stolen the kingdom from him. His son created a coup against him. He's leaving the palace. He's leaving in defeat because it's either fight and kill his son or flee for his life. And David is fleeing from his life. The giant killer running away from his son. And as he's fleeing the house, his palace, there's a man named Shimei from the household of Saul. Saul was his great enemy. And this man named Shimei is running after David and his men, throwing rocks at him, according to scripture, cursing profanities at the king. And one of David's loyal men stood up and said this, let me go cut off that dead dog's head. We all need a friend like this. That Peter just pulling out the sword, let's go. He said, let me go cut off that dead dog's head. How dare him talk to my Lord the king like this? Throw up 2 Samuel 16 up on the screen. Let's look at verse 11. Look what he says. So King David says to his servant, leave him alone and let him curse. Can you imagine that? Just apply that to your social media for a second. He said, leave him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord has told him to do so. It may be that the Lord will look on the wrong done to me and that the Lord will repay me what is good for his cursing today. David held on to his honor when he was dishonored. Jabez held on to his honor while he was dishonored. As I was praying for you this week, I had a vision of individuals offending you, individuals insulting you, individuals cursing you, and I saw you running after them. I saw in this vision individuals sitting at a table and you ran up to the table that you were at and you begin to correct them and defend them. And when I saw that, the camera zoomed out. I saw a Psalms 23 table that the Lord had prepared for you in the presence of your enemies. But you weren't at the table the Lord had prepared for you. You were at your enemy's table, trying to correct them rather than sitting at the table where the Lord fights your battles and defends you. Jabez remained in honor, and Jabez was a man of prayer. See, knowing God is just being with him. Knowing with God is daily encountering him. That's why this is the vision of our church. Taking people from corporate encounters with God to daily personal encounters with God. Do you know why it's the vision of our church? Because I've been saved almost my entire life. I remember doing it as a child. I grew up in church. I was a pastor's kid. I've been in full-time ministry for 20 years now. And I've never seen successful Christianity, or let me phrase it like this. I've never seen successful Christ following without a daily encounter, without a personal relationship with God. See, when you have a relationship that's through your pastor and then your pastor disqualifies himself or does something that doesn't represent God well, your faith stumbles. When your relationship is through your church and then your church goes through hard times, your relationship falters. When your relationship is through something or someone, it never works because man will always let you down. But when your relationship with God, it's not about a church service, when it's not about a program, when it's not about a spiritual hero, when it's simply about the Savior of the universe and you having an intimate relationship. Prayer is not a religious duty. It's a personal communion. Can I just vent for about a minute? I am so sick of these public prayers that are not prayers. I go to these football games and they read these prayers. I'm like, that's not a prayer, that's a speech. They have these little poems and they say amen at the end of them. I'm like, what is that? They stand up in front of Congress and mumble for a few minutes and then say amen and a woman. What are you talking about? That is not prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is simple. We've made it so difficult. Prayer is easy. Who lied to you and told you prayer is hard? Probably the same spirit that told you fasting is hard. See, it's not hard. It's actually just easy. Prayer is simply just you talking to God and God talking back. It's a conversation. It's a communion. Listen, there's no pressure on it. There's no expectations on it. There's nothing you're trying to get out of it except to get into it. Try to have these beautiful prayers that impress people. Who cares? Let me help you. If you're nervous about praying in front of somebody, you're gonna get breakthrough today. Because the prayer is not for them. So many people were like, I don't hear God. Don't worry about it. Just make sure God hears you. And keep talking, because if you get into his presence and start talking to him, I promise you, you're going to hear him. It'll happen so quick, so fast, you'll even be confused like it's behind you. Where did it come? Is this inside me, outside of me? How do I hear these things? I thought it was so hard, but it became so easy. Quit trying to impress people with fancy prayers. Just pray the simple ones that work. What are the simple prayers? Fear, go. Holy Spirit, come. It's not for your children. It's just as much for you when you're scared for this variant or the next variant or the next variant after that. It still works today like it'll work tomorrow. It's not just for your kids. It's every time you're afraid that you can't pay the bills. Fear, go. It's when you're afraid about what 2022 will bring. Fear, go. It's when you're afraid that you can't do what God's called you to do. Fear, go. Then you tell the Holy Spirit, come. Change my will. Change my mind, change my passions for you. Hmm. simple prayers move heaven. I like the simple prayer of Joseph when he just said, remember me, God. How about the prayer of Samson? Let strength return. Even in my pain and suffering and immorality, just let my hair begin to grow one more time. How about Mary's prayer as a teenager? Let it be unto me as I'm a bondservant of Christ. Or Lord, I want what you want. I like the prayer of Elijah when he said, Lord, would you answer by fire so a generation would turn their hearts to you? Listen, I don't care about fancy prayers. You think I sit in my office and pray fancy prayers for you? Who has time for that? Majority of my prayer time is, Holy Spirit, what do you want? And then praying in tongues.
Well, is there an interpreter?
No! If you're new to the faith and you don't know why people are clapping, you need an interpreter if you're prophesying in tongues, but people have hijacked the gifts of the Spirit. Don't worry, we're going to teach on this later this year. You don't need an interpreter when you're praying in your prayer language. Jude 1:20 says, build yourself up in the most holy of faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. He was a man of prayer. So Jabez was dishonored, but remained in honor, and he was a man of prayer. Let's look at his prayer today. Before he began to pray, you see this, what I would call spiritual discontentment in Jabez. What do I mean by spiritual discontentment? Spiritual discontentment is not being content. The Apostle Paul says to be content in all things. See, when you're not content, it means that you want a bigger house for carnal reasons. When you're not being content, it means that someone drives a new Tesla and then you have to have one. When you're not content, it's you see what other people have and do, and it creates a reflection in you of something that you don't have. It's carnal. But a spiritual discontentment is when it doesn't matter what you have. You're aware that there's something missing. It's almost like if you have two kids, but you know that you're supposed to have four, and so you're always looking for ones that you don't have yet. It's you can feel there's something you haven't given birth to yet, but you can feel it in the inside of you. It usually feels like a greatness that you feel inside of you that hasn't quite come to fruition yet. It hasn't given form to it yet. You haven't birthed it yet, but you can feel the kicks and you can feel the elbows. You can feel the spiritual pregnancy for something great that you're called to. Maybe you can't define it yet. Maybe you can't articulate it yet. Maybe you can't fully describe it yet, but you can feel it. And if you're not spiritual, and if you're not mature, spiritual discontent can destroy you as fast as being not content. Jabez had this, but instead of trying to figure it out, he prayed it out. He prayed these powerful prayer that we find in 1 Chronicles 4:10, which I took a few different translations, put it up on the screen. And I just began to piece it together with different words that came alive in me. This merger of transition comes from the King James, the ESV, and a Message Bible. And he prayed these prayers. He prayed, oh, that you would bless me. But that word, oh, could also be translated to if. If you would bless me. He actually begins his prayer with an open-ended vow. Lord, if you will. He's beginning to invite God into a journey of the unknown that we can call faith. Jabez says, if you would bless me. He says, indeed. When he said indeed, it would be like writing five exclamation marks. It would be like underlining it and circling it and highlighting it and putting graphics to it. It would be like on the yellow, making it pop out on the screen. He said, if you would bless me indeed. Here's the wild part about indeed. And this is the beauty of being a prophetic house and walking in a relationship with the Lord where he is ordering your steps and you don't even realize where you're walking into a divine unity with God until you begin to step out and obey and walk in faith. Because remember, I didn't know that God spoke to me in April that it was the year of expanding territory, but I felt like that we were supposed to fully steward the year of the supernatural before we picked up the year of expanding territory. And church, you can't make this stuff up. But what I did not know in April till I began to steward this word today is when he said, would you bless me indeed? It was a prayer beyond his ability. Mercy Culture members, he was praying the supernatural. Jabez was praying Ephesians 3:20 before Ephesians 3:20 was written. He was praying, would you do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond my ability? He was saying this, Lord, would you do what only you can do? When we planted this church, I was so aware of what I can do. And I want nothing to do with what I can do. I know how good I can lead. I know what I'm capable of. I saw years of track records of me doing stuff in my flesh and in my own strength. And when God called us to plant this church, I said, Lord, I'll only do it if you do it. I don't want to be a part of a church it's built around a man. I'll only do it if it's built around you and what you can do. What would happen if we begin to build our lives, if we begin to build our ministries, if we begin to build our businesses, if we begin to build our house visions, not around what we can do? What if we begin to build it around only what he can do? So you're saying amen, but this is a scary prayer because when you begin to pray, bless me indeed, it means you're not determining what the blessing is. See, this is polar opposite to modern day faith where you go read a book, come back, and then pray the same thing asking God for more money in your bank account. And can I encourage you to stop praying silly, wasteful prayers about stuff? Don't you know that dumb stuff follows faith? But you have your mind focused on stuff. Listen, if you can name it, it's in your ability. When it's beyond your ability, it's what you're not even aware of yet. It's what he has in store for you. Do you think Abraham, understanding he's going to have more offspring than sand on a seashore, you think he can comprehend when he does not have one son? He begins to talk to you about the future, and then you look at the nothing that you have and try to figure it out. I remember one time I was with my spiritual father, John Paul Jackson, Heather and I, before he went to go be with Jesus. And I said, John Paul, do you have any concerns for me? He said, yeah, I'm just concerned. God's going to give you so much. You're going to need a lot of wisdom to steward it. And at the time, we had nothing. And I remember looking at him. I was like, it's easy to steward nothing. I got this. I took the master class. I got this. See, but he was seeing into what I couldn't see. Because I was allowing my sorrow of today to name my future. When it took a prophet who was a spiritual father to call me out of sorrow today and put me into a place where I could start seeing what God can see. Listen, beyond your ability means this: you don't decide anymore. Today's pop culture Christianity, you create a social media account and then tell God what he's going to do. Well, this is a scary prayer because it means that you don't know what you're getting yourself into. The indeed changes everything. And then he said,
would you expand my territory? When he said, would you expand my territory, it means, would you expand my everything?
When we planted this church, I told everybody who came from around the country, I said, we can't go into Fort Worth and bring something we don't currently have. There's no point of planting a church without the presence if we don't have the presence in our homes to begin with. Moses said to God, I would rather stay in the wilderness with your presence than go to the promised land without it. That's when he prayed, teach me your ways that I can know you and find favor. He said, I do not want to lose this presence. There's no territory to expand without his presence. See, this is why it is supernatural. This is why there was prophetic words that came out from Pastor Heather and Pastor Matt and others that the supernatural would never leave us. Watch, because there would be no territory to expand to if we didn't have the supernatural today. The supernatural, church, watch this, is the foundation of expanding territory.
And we expand territory through faith. See, what I'm talking about is spiritual warfare. See, so many individuals don't know how to engage in spiritual warfare. There's this old song that we used to sing in church. It was kind of cute. It went something like this. I went into the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. Okay, that's great. But expanding territory isn't going into the enemy's camp and taking back nothing. Expanding territory is the boundary lines move past where their camp is located. And now the enemy's camp just so happens to be in the place that God expanded your tent pegs to, expanded your territory to. It's not, I'm going into your camp. It's, silly enemy, you're confused. You're on my territory. You're in my space. I'm not taking it back. I'm taking over. I'm taking everything that God has called me to do. I heard in my spirit that this would be a year that the enemy would not get one inch.
See, expanding territory is what takes the supernatural that we have here to there. Then he said this, put your hand on me. May your hand be on me. You know what the hand of God is? Is it's the favor of God. And you know it once you have it because you know what it was like to not have it. Have you ever tried to do something without the favor of God? It's hard. And you know what the worst part is? It's not fun. I told the Lord, I'll pastor, but I want to have fun. So I don't want church drama and I don't want all the nonsense. I just want it to be about you and we're going to have fun. And guess what? If people come, if people go, if they don't like, I don't care. Holy Spirit, I just care if you're there and you like it. You see these pastors wearing like this badge of honor, this like, I have no fun ever badge. You have all these pictures of pastor church planters and then a year later pastors and they look like teenagers to, you know, senior citizens in 1 year, all this stuff. Like, it's this badge of honor. Oh, it's the hardest thing. Pastors ask me all the time. They're like, isn't it hard? I'm like, no. Is it heavy? Yeah. Is it hard? No. Because if it's hard, you're doing it wrong. It means you're lifting something you shouldn't be lifting. See, it's no difference in your life in what you're called to steward. If it's too hard or if it's too heavy, you're lifting what God's supposed to be lifting.
That's why he says, cast your burdens onto me, for I care for you. This is important, because when you've had the favor of God, you know how fun it is.
See, when the favor of God, the hand of God's on you, it's like his hand of direction. See, I hear people praying these silly prayers all the time about asking God for direction. And typically that's people that don't hear from God, because God will always speak to you and give you direction, then he'll give you confirmation. But the people that don't hear from God are opening up spiritual fortune cookies trying to get some direction. See, the thing is when you have the hand of God on you, he's moving you where he wants you to go. See, I have three little kids, and we did a lot of Christmas things, and there's a lot of people, and we're not really concerned about variants, and so we go to crowded places all the time, and we do Christmas stuff, and I got little ones, and little ones will start running, so I just kind of keep my hand on the palm of their backs, and when they start running away, they shouldn't go, or cotton candy, or traffic, or whatever it is, I do this thing where your hand's almost on their head, neck, and back all at the same time, and you can, like, fully maneuver a child, just like, you know, doing this. And watch, I don't have to be concerned with their safety when my hand's on them. See, I just keep them in hand's reach. Here's the thing. When you've experienced the favor of God, you don't have to worry about, am I going the right direction? His hand is on you. And when you go in the wrong direction, he turns to you. And then you just walk in with him. Listen, it is this beautiful intimacy that you have that you can trust him because his hand is on you. And when you've experienced his favor, you never want to lose it. See, that's when people start walking and they feel the hand come off. That's when you know, stop. You'll feel that flesh when you're about to give someone a piece of your mind. You feel the Holy Spirit's hand come off you. Listen to me. His hand is his favor. And then here's the last thing he said. He said this, would you keep me from evil? Notice how this reflects the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Worship team, you can come join me. Don't play, just come and join me. See, God provides his personal protection for those that his hand is on. See, when his hand is on you, he's got another hand that's free. And it means this, that the enemy is in arm's reach of Abba. See, you don't have to worry about defending yourself and fighting your battles when his hand is on you. Watch, his other hand is what keeps evil from you. See, that's why we pray all the time, no spirit, but the Holy Spirit. That's why we pray those simple prayers, and we believe that with all of our hearts. Watch, because when you walk into places and you don't feel the Holy Spirit, when you don't feel the presence of God, and you start telling those other spirits to go, Holy Spirit, come. You begin to feel his hand. You feel his protection, that hedge of protection that surrounds you. I love the story of God, Satan, and Job, because Satan went to God and said, I can't do anything about Job because you put a hedge of protection around him. And if he's not a favor of person or has no favorites, and he gives a hedge of protection to Job, surely he'll give a hedge of protection to all of his sons and daughters, watch, that have his favor. Here's what scripture says. It says, and God answered his prayer. But here's the wildest thing about Jabez's prayer. You got to watch this. Not only did he not tell God how to bless him, not only did he not define what blessing is, he left the prayer open and unfinished, where he allowed God to determine his response. This is so important, church. For the spiritual mature, the days of the transactional relationship with God must be over. Where God, if you do this, I'll do that. And you try to train God like you would your dog. Or God, if you get me out of this trouble, I'll do this forever. And God, if you do this for me, then I'll do that for you. And God, if you do this one time, then I promise I'll do that. That's not a supernatural prayer. That's actually the most natural prayer there is. It's a transactional prayer. It's a conditional prayer. There is nothing beyond your ability in that. A supernatural prayer. An expanding territory prayer. A faith expanding prayer. Is Lord, you determine the blessing. Watch this. And you determine my response. Oh. Let the spiritually discerned stop telling God what you'll do for him. And start asking him, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? Let's go back to our story in Genesis chapter 13. We have Abraham, we have Lot, and we have a promised land. God told Abraham in Genesis 12 and in 13, I'm going to expand your territory. I'm going to give you all of the land you could see, and your offspring are going to be greater than sand on the seashore. But Lot contended with Abraham. You can start playing, Pastor Ryan. Genesis 13, put it up on the screen. Verse 9. This is Abraham speaking. He says, is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. Look at this. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, then I will go to the left. Look at verse 11. This is so important. It says, so Lot chose for himself. Do you see the natural prayer? Look at this. It's interesting. I prayed for a few days about the correction at the beginning of my message. I felt like I needed to correct individuals, and I landed on the word fray. There's members, there's visitors, and there's those that are on the fray. You know what the fray means? It means almost a pattern that's been torn, that's not connected. It's frayed. When I was standing up here at the 8:30 service, I began to read this text. I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, Lot was the fray. He was close to Abraham, but he wasn't connected. Watch. The hand of God, the favor of God, the blessing of God was on Abraham. And Lot was close to Abraham. And so the favor came on his life, but it wasn't on him. It was just near him because he was near the favor. So watch. Contention rose between Lot and Abraham. And instead of Lot saying, wherever you go, I'll go. Your people will be my people. I'll submit. I'll serve. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll give you my herdsmen. I don't care. I just want to be close to the favor. He said, you know what? I have stuff too. I'm important too. Look at scripture says he looked and chose for himself. This is so powerful. He separated from the supernatural and he partnered with the natural. The natural was what is carnal. And then he found himself in the middle of the most wicked carnal city known to man because he denied the supernatural and partnered with the natural. Do you know why Abraham was able to say, go to the left, I'll go to the right, you go to the right, I'll go to the left, because Abram didn't choose anything for himself. He prayed the supernatural prayer like Jabez prayed. Oh, if you bless me indeed,
Lord, you choose where I go. This is wild. Look at the text. After Lot chose for himself, God said to Abraham, I'm giving you north, south, east, where Lot went, and west. It means, watch, Abraham, you don't have to pray about direction, because you prayed about obedience. Watch. This is so important. Remember the supernatural prayer is, Lord, you choose the blessing and you choose my response. And God said to Abraham, watch this. Now I want Isaac. Genesis 22. He said, now I want the one thing that you love. Do you know why most of us have never experienced this kind of supernatural? We haven't experienced this kind of expanding territory that invades darkness, that demolishes and subtracts the spirits of darkness, the spirit of the age, the enemy's territory. Do you know why? Because we're not willing to give up the things we love. We pray, God, if you do this, I'll do that. And Jabez and Abram prayed, Lord, you decide what the blessing is, and you decide what my response is. Listen, that takes faith. Faith that I'll trust you, God, with how big or how small it is. I'll trust you with my response. I will trust you with my today. I will trust you with my tomorrow. And I will trust you every step of the way. I'm not about a blessing. I'm about an adventure with the blesser. And Abram took his son, you know the story. And he went to sacrifice the thing he loved most. And God said, stop. Just kidding. I just wanted to see if you would expand your faith. Hear me, Mercy Culture. Your territory is supernaturally expanded by faith. And some of you have partnered with a lie that you don't have enough faith. And it is not true. Faith expands by your obedience today. And whatever faith you have, be obedient with God. This is the year of the supernatural, because this is the year the supernatural expands our territory. We will take supernatural faith here. And we will go where God is. This is the year. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? Where we pray supernatural prayers. This is the year that we let God determine the blessing. And we let God determine our response. Woo, I hear in my spirit, get your Isaac ready. Get your Isaac ready. We're going to enter into a time of prophetic ministry. I want you to posture your heart like you are one person that God called out, because he's calling out thousands today. This is a corporate word that will become a personal word. So if you want to kneel, you can kneel. If you want to lay on the floor, you can lay on the floor. If you want to stand, if you want to pace, I want you to get comfortable. If you want to open your eyes, open your eyes. Whatever you want to do right now to posture your heart. But I've spent the last month with the Lord, and I've asked him for his heart, for his house and his people. Before I share it with you, I want to tell you a quick story. Last night, me and a few pastors of the church met here to pray for you, to pray for this moment, to pray that you would receive.
And we were walking from my office, and my office is about 2 football fields away that way. And I was about to leave my office, and I saw this little vial of anointing oil on my desk, and I felt led I was supposed to take it, but I didn't know what for. Didn't feel like I was going to anoint our pastors with oil, but I just grabbed it. And we got to the sanctuary. By the time we got to the sanctuary, all of a sudden my hand was all wet and oil was dripping off my speaker that I was holding onto. And I'd noticed that I accidentally poured out the entire vial of oil somewhere between here and my office all the way over there. And when we got done praying, about an hour into it, I get back to my office and I find the cap of the anointing oil about 1 foot from my desk. That's weird. And this morning we came in, and at 8 o'clock we do pre-service, or 7:30 we do pre-service prayer. There's 100 or so of us in here praying. As I walked back to my office this morning, I saw blots of oil about every 6 feet from here through MC Central, through the children's area, all the way into my office. There's these little drops. And as I followed this oil back to my office, I felt the Lord say, this is prophetic, that today the oil is flowing from the headship all the way down to the beard, to the garments. Whoo, I feel in my spirit. Psalms 133 talks about unity that commands a blessing. I feel this so strong. In this fast, there is this oil. In this next 21-day fast, the oil of this house will make its way to your life. Prepare your hearts to receive. Extend your faith right now. I declare, Mercy Culture Church, 2022 is the year of expanding territory. I heard in my spirit, Mercy Culture, by property, land, and houses. Up in my spirit right now came multiple people that said, I can't afford it. I don't feel like the Holy Spirit asked you if you could afford it. He asked you to partner your faith with Him. I heard this. It's more than a business transaction. Whew. It's a kingdom expansion. Remember Genesis 13, God said to Abram, I'm giving you land and offspring, land and offspring. I heard in my spirit, He's expanding businesses into new locations. I heard this in my spirit. Your business is going to go into new local locations, out of state locations, and some even out of country. This is wild. The four pastors last night, we prayed specifically over this. And when I asked the Holy Spirit, I have written down on my iPad question marks. And when I asked the Holy Spirit, what nations is business is going to expand to? I heard in my spirit, South America. I wrote it down. As we gathered together as pastors, I asked, I said, is there any places that you guys heard? And one pastor said South America. Another one said Latin America. The other one said Latin America. There was this yes and amen of South American countries that you're going to expand your businesses to. I heard this in my spirit, that you're going to expand territory in business through the freedom of the love and fear of money. I saw the Lord healing you and delivering you from the fear of money, which is the love of money. And as you were delivered from the love of money and the fear of money, I saw your business exploding. Nobody's looking around. Everybody's just spending time with the Lord. But if that bears witness with you, just lift your hands right there, right now in this place. Because I want to declare over your life right now, Mammon, go. I'm about to yell, so brace yourself. Mammon, go. Holy Spirit, come bring your faith. Come bring your trust.
I saw families expanding their territory through children. I saw individuals saying, I don't want a big family. I saw others saying, I don't want to have children. And I saw the Holy Spirit correcting you that those are fear-based, natural responses. And he wants to invite you into a partnership with the supernatural to expand spiritual territory. I saw women that were afraid of the pains of childbearing. And I declare over you, your children and your family's name will not be names of pain and sorrow, but they will be names of purpose and destiny. I saw many pregnancies that happened in our community this year. And then I also saw adoption, but I saw adoption as a first choice. Holy Spirit, help me. I saw individuals that have been withholding faith for adoption, calling it faith for pregnancies, when it was actually a lack of faith that you would be fulfilled in adoption. I hear in my spirit cries of the broken and the neglected, and the church answering cries. I saw in my spirit a principality of greed over the adoption industry. And Father, we lift up right now the higher power, the spirit of generosity over the greed of adoption. I pray that you would unseat the financial burdens and barriers in adoption. I pray that you would use Mercy Culture as a connecting piece, that you would use us as a part of your puzzle. Father, I pray right now that you would give us territory. Expand our territory. Heard in my spirit that there's great fathers and mothers in this house that have more room in your spiritual womb. And I felt this in my spirit. There's some older people that this wasn't a part of your retirement plan, but it's a part of his expanding territory plan. I heard the Lord say he was expanding territory in the renewing of your mind. I heard the phrase mental real estate. I heard the Lord say, this is the year where you're going to expand territory in the renewing of your mind. I heard in my spirit, the enemy's not going to get one inch. I heard them say this, not one thought. I heard this in my spirit. This will be a year where you will learn how to take every thought captive. I saw in the spirit overwhelming lust and bondage. It was predominantly within private settings, but it has spilled over into other sexual acts with partners. And I saw that this was the year. Just so you know, that God is speaking directly to some of you. There's individuals that you see prostitutes. This is the year that you get freedom. Just let them have their moment. You don't have to clap for them. Oh. God sees you. Watch, it's not to punish you. It's to deliver you. This is the year of expanding territory. This is the year of the renewing of your mind. This is a year of expanding territory in spiritual strength. I saw some of you on roller coasters.
And the roller coaster was your emotions. And it was full of ups and downs. And so badly how you wanted to get off the ride, but you were trapped on the ride. And I saw that this year you would expand territory in spiritual strength. I heard this word over you this year, consistency. I saw your emotions not leading you this year. I saw your emotions following your spirit. Whoa. I saw your emotions following your spiritual discipline. This is cool. I saw you on this roller coaster loop that you were trapped and you couldn't get off. And all of a sudden the ride stopped. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, it's time to get out. It's time to get off. If that's you, either physically or in your mind or however you partner with this prophetic word, would you just take the Holy Spirit's invitation and get off the ride? Get off the ride. I heard this. There's this beautiful window of deliverance. I heard this in my spirit. Sorrow is breaking off of you. Some of you have been wearing, I say this with the greatest amount of humility, and I'm just gonna say it how I feel it. So hear this from a father's heart, from a pastor's heart, who wants nothing more than your freedom and deliverance. But I saw some of you in racial sorrow. I saw some of you, I saw inheritance was stolen. I saw some of you were wronged in business. I saw it was a great amount of money. I felt like it was hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars that was stolen from you. And you were remaining in a place of sorrow. And I heard this. I heard the Lord say, it's breaking off of you. Wow. This is so cool. I just saw a picture of Joseph, and Joseph went to Egypt, and in Egypt he was equipped, and then he went back to his family and rescued his family from a famine. I feel like that's what's going to happen to individuals that break through racial barriers, that you're going to break through to a new place and then go back and rescue people that a famine is coming from them. A spiritual famine is coming for them. I saw the same thing in business. I saw the Lord saying to you, I did it before. Watch what I can do again. I hear this in my spirit. Sorrow, break off. I just felt this strong in my spirit. There's been individuals that you were abandoned by your natural father, and you have remained in a sorrow. And I hear the Lord saying over you, this is the year of expanding territory. And he's expanding you emotionally. I felt this strong in my spirit. Some of you, your fathers didn't leave you. Some of you, circumstances in life, your father left prematurely. And I hear this, sorrow is leaving you. I declare, break off of you. You will not name this year son of my sorrow. You will name this year son of my right hand. The favor of God will name your year, not the sorrow of yesterday. I hear the Lord saying he's expanding territory in relationships, where relationships are being restored and becoming healthy. I hear marriages will be restored, not just restored, healthy. If you're with your spouse and you've been contending for a healthy marriage, just squeeze their hand right now. Doesn't mean anyone's bad, it means it's healthy. Healthy, healthy, healthy. Sometimes health is outside of your ability. And that's okay. That's where the supernatural comes in. I saw broken family relationships coming back into alignment and being healthy. Whew. I literally saw the Holy Spirit keeping evil from coming out of the mouths of family members. I saw expanding territory through media. About 3 years ago, Pastor Chris, Chima, and a few others, we didn't have a building, so we prayed on top of parking garages. We were praying on a parking garage by Lancaster Street. And I had a vision of these giant satellites. And these satellites were beaming up. They were sending up media from Fort Worth, from Mercy Culture. And I sense in my spirit, I see in the spirit that this is a year that that begins to take place. Where media is expanded from this house. We will expand territory through media. I heard in my spirit, it's so important that you take spiritual ground. Because the Lord will not release media from this house that's not pure. That come from pure hands and a clean heart. And as there's purity in you, and as there's healing in you, as you're submitted to His perfect will. I saw media exploding from this house. I saw Mercy Culture worship expanding territory this year. I saw books being written this year. Books. There's books in members of this church. Some of them are spiritual, but other than them, they're in your work environments that have daily encounters hidden in them. Lord, develop the authors of this house. I heard in my spirit, you're gonna expand territory by getting louder. I saw you holding back your voice last year. Almost like waiting till someone else shouted or screamed. Waited till someone else spoke up. Waiting for somebody else to step up. Then you did it. And I saw the hesitancy leaving. Almost like a racer that was in the blocks waiting for the gunshot. Waiting for the go. That there was this waiting just for this explosion of obedience. I sense right now in my spirit, there's individuals that you let fear keep you out of SLS. This is the year that you get in the blocks. I heard in my spirit that you didn't miss the window of favor still open to you, the door of favor still open to you. I heard in my spirit, this year, we get louder. I want to bring clarity to it. It wasn't an arrogance. It wasn't an annoyance. It wasn't a flesh loud. It wasn't loud to be loud's sake. It was a speak loud and spare not. It was I cannot hold my peace. It was I must say what the Lord tells me to say. I must do what the Lord tells me to do. I saw our church getting louder about justice, louder about truth. I saw us taking territory. Through our voice. I saw in the spirit the world trying to silence the church so that they were the only one speaking. And I saw this church full of radicals that would not be quiet. Nobody's prophesying in tongues, but if you got a prayer language, it's a good time to use it right now and just get loud. It's a good time right now. Just begin to build up your faith. Come on, till the ground of your heart. If you don't have a prayer language yet and you'd like it, just stand up and ask the Holy Spirit for it. Just say, would you expand my spiritual territory with your spiritual gifts right now? Nobody's prophesying in tongues right now. That's not what's happening. This is a Jude 1:20 moment right now. Father, I pray right now that you would begin to stir your people up. I pray faith right now would arise in them. I heard in my spirit. I heard this might be my favorite thing I saw. I saw this at an event that we did in November. I heard the Lord say that I'm going to expand your territory. My wife Heather saw the same thing. She heard the same thing even before me. And here's what we heard. As this would be a year that faith would go. Watch this, watch this, watch this. We've been prophesying for the last almost 2 years, fear go. Holy Spirit, come. And I heard the Lord say, this is the year that faith goes. I said, Lord, what do you mean this is the year that faith go? We've been telling fear to go. He said, no, this is the year that faith goes from here to
still there. I saw in my spirit Mercy Culture going to different cities. I saw in my spirit the members of this house taking faith into different cities, into different businesses, into different homes. I heard the Lord say, this is the year that faith will go from this house to many other houses.
Where's Theo? Where's Theo? Is Theo in the building? Is Theo in the building? Just lift your hands, Theo. Where's Theo? I saw the Pastors Network. I saw you imparting faith. I saw you imparting faith. I saw faith going from here. I saw pastors that almost lost their faith. I saw pastors that almost lost their marriages. I saw pastors that almost lost their children because they almost lost that secret place. And I saw them with you finding the Holy of Holies again. I saw them with you being led by you, hearing the voice of God again. I saw them going into the holy place again. And just like you've taught your boys and many others that you've been around, I saw you with these pastors and I saw them being refreshed, and then I saw houses that were on fire, full of faith, that were staples. Wow, this is awesome. I saw them as war forts that began to be stationed around the nation of presence-driven churches that would not bow to fear, that said, Holy Spirit, come. I declare that this is the year of expanding territory, and this house will expand territory through faith. Someone all over this place, just begin to say, faith go. Just begin to say, faith go. Come on, say, faith go. Holy Spirit, come. Would you just begin to say it? Say it about 100 times over yourself right now. Just let it rise. Just let it rise in this room. Just say, faith go. Faith go from here. Faith go from here. I declare, let this be a year that faith arises. Let this be a year that faith arises. I declare, this is the year we have told fear to go. Fear, you don't have a home in our lives. Now we say, faith, you go. We declare, faith, go. We declare, faith, arise. Go to our friends. Go to our family. Go to our schools. Go to our workplaces. Go to cities around Texas. Cities around the nation. We declare, faith, go.
Don't sing it. Declare it.
Faith go. Holy Spirit come.
Shut your eyes as tight as they go. Everyone in this place, watching online, watching on YouTube, you have to pull over your car, pull over. Close your eyes and just put your hands out to receive. Just like Elijah's mantle that fell so easy on Elisha. I'm going to pray this prophetic word over you. But I'm going to encourage you to pray this every single day over yourself. Have it be a part of your daily encounter. Let's steward this word. So I declare over this congregation, it's the year of expanding territory. I declare, oh, if you would bless them indeed. Expand their territory. Father, put your hand on them. Keep them from all evil. Lord, we will pray this every day. Would you hear our cry? Lord, we declare you determine the blessing and you determine our response. Bless your people in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said amen. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.